Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone as the sun. We focus today on the transfiguration of Christ in the season of Lent to show us the end for which we are to work. Sanctification is our goal. As St. Paul says, this is the will of your God, your sanctification. This for us is a transfiguration. As what is sanctification but a more perfect indwelling of God's life in the soul to a point where our lives become changed, where we develop and become different people. To effect our transfiguration, our moving to greater holiness of life, we work towards holding before our minds the reward for such a work. Christ today helps the apostles to understand more about his nature. Up to now, perhaps, the apostles' understanding was limited to what they could perceive with their senses, namely that Christ was a man acting as God. To quote a book by Frank Sheed called Theology and Sanity, as the apostles themselves grew to the knowledge of the fact, they could only be, as we should be without the clue, utterly bewildered. They saw him acting and speaking as man. They saw him acting and speaking as man has no right to act and speak, as only God rightly could. But they had no concept born of experience of one person with two natures. For there never had been such a person any more than there ever would be such another. Christ giving them a mission to begin the new church. He was preparing them for their mission. He took them up the mountain, the first pope, St. Peter, the first of the 12 to be martyred, St. James, and the purest of them to whom he would give his mother, St. John, who's preparing them for their work, to carry out their work, to continue the sanctification of mankind, the redemption of mankind, leading people back to God. And so he is helping them to understand about him. He is God and man, and as man he is the sufferer. God confirms this all in their minds. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. This word Son aids us in our transfiguration, points us to the Blessed Trinity, the truth of the divine sonship, the relation and procession of the Father and Son. He is a Son in relation to God the Father, not like human sons are in relation to their fathers. For it is not in a matter of time, not in progression, for they are co-eternal. He is the Son as his nature is one with his Father's. He proceeds from the Father, begotten, not made, from the Father's knowledge of himself. As God is that perfect object of love, that perfect object of the knowledge of the Father. He is the Word made flesh. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. But what is this Word of God? It's but an idea, for God does not speak. He doesn't have a voice as we speak. He is a spirit. As it is an idea, his ideas are complete. He fully knows all things. And so his knowledge of himself, this idea, the Word, proceeds from him to the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Again, not in time, not in progression, not in change of God. God doesn't admit of change. He then takes on a human nature to be able to suffer for us. Thus he transfigures himself today, showing the apostles his great work is from God himself. And they are to follow him and all his commands. Hear him. What is this for us? As you have learned from us how you ought to walk and to please God, as indeed you are walking, we beseech you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus to make even greater progress. Our progress is to sanctification. We are called to be saints. We are called to be holy. We absolutely can, as we are called by God to do so. We absolutely must. We're called to change our lives to imitate Christ more perfectly. In doing so, we work then to understand Christ. We work to understand the reward to which we are called in being saints. Thus Christ ascended the mountain. He went up. He went above, and to show us that we are to go ascend above our nature, supernaturalize our lives, live above our fallen human nature, live that calling of Christ. We must change our life and rise above our fallen human nature to gain the beatific vision. This is the reward of heaven, the beatific vision, to see God as he is. And with him, all good is also our reward in heaven. To quote again Theology and Sanity, we must not let imagination fool us. All the things we have enjoyed are made by God of nothing. Whatever reality is in them, God gave them. But God does not give what he has not got. Any reality he has put into things, he must already have in himself. It will be in him according to his infinity, but it will not be less for that, but greater. The things we have enjoyed with their mingling of nothingness, we shall possess in God unmingled. A man who had lived all his life by a muddy stream and never had anything to slake his thirst but muddy water might recoil from his first sight of a spring of clear water. It would look so thin and bodiless, but let him drink it. For the first time, he knows the lovely taste of water and in that act knows the mud for what it is. Reality, mirrored in nothingness, has given our man, every man, exquisite moments. Reality mirrored in nothingness, reality muddied by nothingness. And again, as St. Paul says, we see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. God himself is our reward in heaven. We work to go to him by the things of this life. In our transfiguration of ourselves, we work to know Christ, that our walking has that goal foremost in our mind. Our reward is heaven itself, and we get there using these things. We use this season of Lent to increase our progress in our walking. Our Lord has taken the apostles up the mountain, bidding us then also to ascend to transform ourselves. We work to transform ourselves, our walking, our works, to something more than just the fulfilling of the law. Not just Lent for Lent. Unite with Christ by your prayers to turn to God and to live in union with him. Cornelius a Lapide tells us prayer is a transfiguration of the soul. And he gives reasons. First, it receives light from God that the soul may know and examine him and itself and all things more clearly. We want to see things in the light of the faith. We want to have that grace from God. We go to him and we ask him to enlighten us. Secondly, by prayer, the soul seeks and obtains from God the grace to blot out the stains and vices by which she is deformed and to overcome all temptations. Now we see the vision of God, what he has prepared for us, what we are called to do, to move to him and to use all things for him. And so he strengthens us in our prayers. He strengthens us in our work. Thirdly, in prayer, the soul is raised above itself and is lifted up to God in heaven, where it learns and sees all things of the earth are base, worthless, and fragile. Because then when we understand our reward in heaven, our reward is God himself, then what are all the things of the world in comparison? What are all the things of this earth in comparison to heaven? Fourthly, in prayer, the soul hears and sees that all the crosses of the world are small and insignificant. Therefore, it resolves to endure them all bravely and to think little of them. Because now in the season of Lent, we look to Christ on the cross and what he did to gain our salvation, to gain heaven for us, to give us that opportunity to gain heaven. What can we suffer? What are all the crosses we would have to suffer in this life in comparison with the reward to come? Then fifthly, in prayer, the soul unites itself to God. This is our work, to go to God, to be with him, to live with him. This is how we sanctify our life. We work to be with God as often as we can. We think of God as often as we can. We have this fallen human nature. We have this bodily form. We have this life in the world to live. But now is the season of Lent where we put away the distractions of the world as much as we can to focus on Christ, to focus on our mission. We work, therefore, in the season of Lent, fighting against our fallen human nature, to elevate ourselves to the spiritual plane, to ascend the heights of sanctity. For us in the spiritual life, perhaps the hardest part is simply aspiring to greatness, because we think we know ourselves, we see our sins, we see our faults, we know how weak we are to temptation and to sin. And so we fear to ascend and to be bold for Christ. But the church doesn't bid us to run, doesn't bid us to do great miracles, but to walk, to begin slowly, to work at yourself every day to overcome your fallen human nature. As Christ said, not just during the season of Lent, but every day, daily, pick up your cross and follow me. Nevertheless, we ascend, we climb, we work the season of Lent to make ourselves better Catholics, better followers of Christ. And Christ is transfigured today, before us today, to show how we are to change ourselves. We are to work to imitate his virtues. We are working towards the goal of sanctity, the goal of imitating Christ himself and partaking in his work of salvation for all mankind. And so on all the souls we meet, in every situation, we have the ability to merit for Christ, to merit in union with Christ. Remember, not to be afraid of great holiness. Christ desires you to succeed. He desires you to be holy. He desires you to sanctify yourself. Arise and fear not, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.